You're listening to FOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. Good evening and welcome to Friday night FOJC Remnant Gathering.
Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the FOJC Remnant Gathering. I am David Carrie-Cole, and for the next hour or so, we're going to be studying the Word of God. So very honored that you're spending this time studying with us. Our study this evening is a very important one, the Other Jesus of the Sacred Name Bibles. We're going to be examining the most popular translations from the Messianic and Hebrew movements, and we're going to be showing that the Jesus they're talking about is not the one that I'm talking about, and it's going to be facts. We're going to be giving you the facts, so it's going to be a hooty bob. We want to go to prayer before we have our word, as we always do. We want to have prayer of special needs for first-time listener and Mark Tillis. We were very blessed to be able to meet Brother Mark at our Passover gathering, and we want to pray for the ministry. There are so many good things happening now. There are just amazing testimonies of the blessings and the fruit that the Word is bringing forth. And also, I think we're at an all-time level of attack. We're being trolled at an unprecedented level, harassment, just lies. You know, we were talking last night, we was doing a show with John, and looking at some of the things that, I mean, it's not like I don't agree with you on this or that, but just outrageous lies that people are making up. It just is unbelievable. Well, it is believable. But people that do this, they're not believers. You know, born-again believers just don't make stuff up and slander other people. And this is what we're saying. So we just appreciate your prayers. We know that the farther along we get, that the more intense that it's going to get, and it will get so intense that eventually it will be physical persecution. But we know that's what's going on, and it's okay because we know who we serve. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to bring the Word of God once again. And Father, we pray that in this lesson you just really help me to bring forth your word in a clear and understandable way, and to help Sister Donna to keep everything running smoothly. We bind the enemy from interfering and doing any devilment during this time. And Father, we want to pray for first-time listener, that those needs in her life, that you just move in a mighty way and just bless her like never before, and just lift her up in all of the struggles she fights. And also for Brother Mark, we just pray, Father, that you just bless him and help him in all that he has to deal with, and just bring him closer to you than he ever has been before. And Father, once again, we just pray for the anointing that will break the yoke. We just pray, Father, that you just move in a mighty way to set people free and move them into the place where they're going to take an uncompromised stand for the truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we agree. Amen and amen. Worship the Lord for a few moments, and then we're going to have our lesson for this evening, the Other Jesus of the Sacred Name Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant if Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to my home on the bright golden shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Daily walking close to thee.
Amen. That should be the goal of us all, just to be a little closer to Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, the other Jesus of the Sacred Name Bibles. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And in this study this evening, we're going to be examining the most popular sacred translations, sacred name translations in the Messianic and the Hebrew movement. And I'm going to be showing that they're not talking about the same person I'm talking about. I'm talking about the virgin-born, sinless Son of God. And it's getting so bad. And it says here in the Scripture that the Apostle Paul said that ye might well bear with him. You know, that they are actually putting up and tolerating people that were doing this nonsense. And I'm here to say this evening, I'm not going to bear with them. I'm going to rebuke them, and I'm going to call them out. And tomorrow night on the Midnight Ride, we're going to be documenting that it's getting so bad that they are openly saying that Jesus is Metatron. We introduced Metatron to you in the criticisms of the Satiric Torah here on FOJC and on the Midnight Ride. And we're going to be documenting, and we're going to be playing audio clips that it's so bad that there are leaders, and we're going to be naming names, calling them out, showing video clips. They are actually saying Jesus is Metatron. Now, that's unbelievable, but it's true. It's here. This isn't something that's coming. This is something that is here now. And at the very root of it all are these sacred name Bibles that are laying a foundation of apostasy that is nothing more than an open pit into the gates of hell. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the scripture says, 2 Peter 2 and 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, and boy there are," let me tell you, there's false prophets among the people, "even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Now that word privily, that means you sneak it in. And the scripture says of Satan that he is subtle. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. They change little bitty things, and it's sneaky. And we're going to be showing you those little bitty sneaky things that they do. And many of these things are so open and in your face that it's time that the born-again remnant of God say, "Thus far no more." We cannot bear with this apostasy. We're going to begin in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 4, and we're going to show the beachhead of the assault upon our Lord and upon the Word of God. In the King James Bible, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and for anyone that would not know, the King James Bible is the Bible I use. It is the Bible, and we're going to be showing that these other so-called Bibles, they're not Bibles at all. Isaiah 7:14, King James, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And what is patently true, and I know this for experience, that there are many people in the Hebrew Root movement that when they say Yeshua, they're not talking about the virgin-born Son of God. There are people out there, and I know them, that sponsor conferences that deny the deity and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I could name the names. I know them personally. There are many of the biggest Hebrew Root ministries that their biggest financial supporters that they deny. Now, they say they believe it, but their biggest supporters are people that openly deny the deity and the virgin birth of Christ. They say that Jesus wasn't God in the flesh. He was just a man. Well, you know, I have to wonder, why would people like this support someone like that? You know, there are just a lot of things here that are not right, obviously. In Isaiah 7 and 14, I'm going to read from the One New Man translation. This is one of the most popular in the Messianic movement. This is one that we're going to be featuring. We're going to be looking at the Tree of Life version, the One New Man Bible, the Complete Jewish Bible, the Scriptures 2012, and we're going to be referencing many others as we go through our study. But let's look at Isaiah 7:14 in the One New Man Bible. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the pregnant young woman will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Behold, it's no longer the virgin, it's the pregnant young woman. Now, what does that bring to your mind? I mean, pregnant young woman. That just doesn't bring holiness and purity to your mind. And this is so important, and it's even worse in the footnote. And the Scriptures 2009, it follows suit in ripping the word virgin out of Isaiah 7:14. It just puts the Hebrew word Alma in there. And in the footnote, this is the footnote in the One New Man Bible in Isaiah 7:14. The Hebrew word Alma means maiden, marriageable young woman, and in modern Hebrew, virgin. Now that is all not wrong, and I could unpack that, but the point I want to make here is they say Alma in the word that's translated here, it doesn't mean virgin, it means maiden, and only in modern Hebrew does it mean virgin. Now that's all a big bunch of untruth, but here's what's going on. There are people that are going in to, and there are a lot of people in the Hebrew Root movement, the Messianic movement. They're honest-hearted, born-again people that are looking for truth. They have, many of them, come, and most of them, I'd say probably, they have come out of the evangelical church because of all the apostasy, and they think that by going into the Hebrew Root and the Messianic movements that they're going to find truth. And in this group there are wolves, and I mean there's more than just one or two. There are many, many wolves that are moving through this, and they are taking people to the bowels of hell, and they're taking them completely over to Judaism, to the Hashem movement, where they totally deny Christ. This is happening at an amazing rate, and there's a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Tobias Singer. And this rabbi is he is not a messianic rabbi. He is a rabbinic, in rabbinic Judaism. And Rabbi Tobias Singer, he says that 80 to 90% of the converts to Judaism are coming right out of the Messianic and the Hebrew Root movement. This is a serious thing. And what they do, they see someone here with a One New Man Bible or with any of these, they come up and they say, well, look, Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. It's right here in your own Bible. Oh, look, the word that was translated virgin here, that didn't even mean virgin then. It isn't till modern Hebrew that meant virgin. And they are taking these Bibles and they are convincing people that Jesus is not born of a virgin, that he is just a man, and they're taking people straight into the bowels of hell. Now, everyone that is using these Bibles and every assembly that is promoting these Bibles, they have blood on their hands because they are putting a tool in the hands of the wolf that are taking people straight into the bowels of hell. And I'll read the assault on the virgin birth of Christ is deep and serious in these translations. We're going to give you some more examples, and we're going to be explaining to you the importance of the doctrine of the virgin birth. And this is just the fountainhead of the attack on the true Jesus. The real Jesus is born of a virgin. The other Jesus of the sacred name Bibles, he is not. And there are, let's look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And the scripture says here in the King James, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. I'll read from the Scriptures 2009 edition, and not only do they rip the word virgin out of Isaiah 7:14, but they rip it out of Matthew 1:23. And in the Scriptures 2009 in Matthew 1:23, it says, "See, an Alma shall conceive and shall give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, most people reading this wouldn't even know what Alma means. Alma is the Hebrew word that's translated virgin in Isaiah 7:14 in the King James Bible. But another one of the great lies that underlies all of these translations is that that Jesus could not speak Greek. And we're going to deal with that hopefully before the lesson's over. It's ridiculous. There, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, there was a division in the church at Jerusalem between the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking Jews. There were Hellenistic synagogues that had their services completely in Greek. An average educated Jewish person at the time of Christ could speak Greek. This is a big porky, and it's one of the, there are many just big lies that underlie this whole thing. Therefore, you see, when we translate, you're not getting a translation. You're not getting a translation from Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic into English. What you're getting, you see, we put a Hebrew word there. The Eth Sefer does this in John 3:16. It takes out only begotten, and it puts in the word Yashid. So this is how they do, and this is the thinking that underlies this. And it's totally bogus, and it's totally, totally dangerous. And even some of these, like the Tree of Life version, it will put it in some places, and it will strip it out in some places. And this is giving a tool to these wolves to take people straight into the bowels of hell. In the Word of God, in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, and this is so important, this isn't optional. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, the scripture says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." It had to be without blemish. And for Jesus Christ to be the sinless sacrifice, to die upon the cross for our sins, he had to be a sinless sacrifice. And he was. So when the assault on the virgin birth is launched from these sacred name Bibles, I will not bear with them. I will not give my blessing to putting tools in the hands of wolves to take people straight into the bowels of hell. And everyone that does so, they have blood on their hands. This is getting serious. It's very serious. We're talking of the outright lifting up of the beast and the false prophet by many of these people. And this isn't just something I'm saying off the top of my head. When I say something, I back it up. And we're going to be backing it up, and we're going to just show how deep and how far into this apostasy we're in. And the messianic movement has become the tool for lifting up the final beast and the false prophet. And this isn't just something to say. Those are strong words. But it's happening, and it's here right now. And people need to wake up. They need to see just how serious it is when the virgin birth comes under assault. And we're just getting started. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." There are people out there that are holding the One New Man Bible, the Complete Jewish Bible, the Scriptures 2009, and many, many and all of them. They've got these apostate translations in their hand, and they have a millstone around their neck, and they don't even know it, because they are causing people to stumble straight into the bowels of hell by lifting up these apostate Bibles. And we're going to show you more. And this is, you know, this is beyond any realm of anything being coincidental. There's a satanic signature here. And many of the people that are using these Bibles, they claim to believe in the virgin birth. But yet, they're lifting up these Bibles that deny it. Now, something's wrong. There's just something bad wrong in the level of deception that's operating here. Luke chapter 2 and verse 33. We're going to look at it in the King James Bible. Luke chapter 2 and verse 33. Now, this is one of these little subtle things. We're going to show you several little subtle things. Now, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And notice how the King James Bible phrases it. Joseph and his mother. Joseph is not called the father of Jesus Christ because he wasn't. And if Joseph was the father of Jesus Christ is neither Lord nor God in the flesh nor Savior. Now let's watch what these translations do. And in the One New Man Bible, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 33, it says, and his father and mother were amazed over what was spoken concerning him. In the One New Man Bible, Joseph is the father of Jesus. The One New Man Bible is talking about a Jesus that is not God, that is not divine, that is not the virgin-born Savior. Joseph was not the father of Jesus Christ. And in the Tree of Life version, the Tree of Life version follows suit. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 33, in the Tree of Life version, it says, and his father and mother were marveling at the things which were said about him. Now, most people, when they would read over that, they would probably just read over it and not think anything about it. It's so subtle. But these are things that deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, his sinless life, and these are things that are being used by wolves to take people straight into the bowels of hell. Very subtle, but very, very, very destructive. Eternally destructive. Let's look at the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 12, the scripture says here, in Romans chapter 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are all sinners in need of a Savior because we're born into original sin, because our father and mother are passing on that sinful nature that began with Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world. And now, Jesus Christ, when he was born, he was the second Adam. He was not born from the Adamic corruption. And because he was born of a virgin, he did not have original sin. He was the pure, sinless sacrifice. And when this doctrine is done away with, We no longer have a sinless Savior. And this is done in many directions by these sacred name translations. Now, this is also something that is taught in the Talmud. Isaiah 7:14 was the first scripture that the rabbis begin to attack and twist. They never had a problem with it before Jesus was resurrected from the dead. But then this became the focus of their attack upon the real Jesus. And in the Talmud, I want to read what the Talmud says. This is another thing that is viciously and slanderously attacked. This is from Kala 1b, 18b in the Talmud. And there's a conversation here where one of the rabbis tricks Mary, and this is just a fictional story, but in the Talmud, one of the rabbis is having a conversation with Mary, and they trick her into telling the truth, and this is how the verbiage goes. Then he said, "Tell me, what kind of son is this of yours?" To which she replied, "The day I was married, I was having menstruation, and because of this my husband left me, but an evil spirit came and slept with me, and from this intercourse my son was born to me." The Word of God teaches that Jesus was born of the Holy Ghost. The Talmud teaches that Jesus was conceived by a devil. Can we even comprehend the level of blasphemy? The Word of God says that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And if this isn't blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, I don't know what you'd have to do to get there. Actually saying that Jesus Christ was conceived by a devil. If you are born again, you need to take these apostate translations and throw them in the trash, because you are playing with something so evil and so perverse that you are defiling yourself to a level that you cannot even comprehend. I will not bear with those that are bringing this unbelievable filth. Let's show some more. And we're going to show you some more very, very subtle things. Now let's look at John chapter 8. No, excuse me. Let's look at John chapter 7 and verse 8. The scripture says here, "Go ye up unto the feast. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." Now that was the King James Bible. And we're going to show another very subtle thing. They're going to take out one little phrase here, and by doing it, they're going to make Jesus a liar. Now, they're going to take out, I want you to notice, it says in the King James Bible, "I go not up yet." Now, this is taken out in these apostate Bibles, and they make Jesus a liar. Now, I'm going to read it to you from the One New Man Bible, and the Tree of Life Bible does exactly the same thing. Now listen to how it reads in the One New Man Bible, "And they make Jesus a blatant liar." This is the One New Man Bible, beginning in John chapter 7, verse 8. "You must go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast, because my appointed time has not yet been completed. And having said these things, he was staying in Galilee. And as his brothers went up to the feast, then he also went up, not openly, but in secret." And by taking the "not yet," we see Jesus plainly saying, "I'm not going to the feast," and then doing it. The Jesus in the One New Man Bible is a liar. And this is accomplished by just taking that one little word out. Now, isn't that subtle? This is devilishly subtle. I can see the hand of Satan there. And the very same thing is done in the Tree of Life Bible. You can read it. They do the same thing. They take that out. And by so doing, they make Jesus a liar. Well, the Jesus that I serve, he is not a liar. I will not bear with that. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" What if Jesus would come to your house, and you have your One New Man Bible, your Tree of Life, and I'm going to show you a bunch more before we're done, and he would pick this up and read Joseph is his father. It makes him out to be a liar. It says that he was not born of a virgin. Would Jesus be offended at the Bible that you have in your house? I believe that Jesus would, just like he overturned the tables of the money changers, he would rip these Bibles to shreds because they are telling lies about the real Jesus. And this offends me because I am zealous for the Lord of hosts. I am offended when people tell lies and denigrate my Lord. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, this is the destination for all liars. And like I said, there are people out there, and boy, could I name names of people that are just lying. They're just absolutely making stuff up. Unbelievable, just rank unmitigated liars. And Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Jesus that I serve, the sinless Son of God, he is not a liar. And he is not in hell. He is at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us. But this is not so in the Jewish Talmud. And you see, we talk a lot here on FOJC about being able to discern the spirit behind something. And when Rabbinic Judaism rejected Jesus Christ coming into the flesh, this meant that they were driven by the spirit of Antichrist. And we see so much agreement with what is taught in the Talmud and what is taught in the sacred name Bibles. Now, I'm going to read another excerpt from the Talmud. This is from the Stanislaus Talmud, BT Sanhedrin 43a. And we're going to read what the Talmud says about the eternal destiny of Jesus Christ. This is what it says. What is your punishment? They replied, with boiling hot excrement. Since a master has said, whoever mocks at the words of the sages is punished with boiling hot excrement. The Jesus that I serve is not boiling in hell in feces. He is at the right hand of the Father. He was the virgin-born, sinless Son of God, God in the flesh, that was resurrected to the right hand of the Father. And he is there even now, making intercession for all that would repent and turn unto him. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. We'll show you yet another very subtle little change that these, and I choke at even saying Bibles, that these sacred name translations make. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And you see, it's just not one thing or another thing. Boy, it's a gob of things. There are more things here that I could ever get in one teaching. And all a born-again believer would have to see would be any one of these things in these so-called Bibles, and it should go in the trash. You see, these are things that can't be played with. These are serious, serious issues. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, this is the King James Bible. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, I'm going to show you once again a very subtle little change. I'll read from the Tree of Life version this time, and the One New Man Bible does exactly the same thing. And what they do, they take out the little phrase without a cause. Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, the real Bible reads, listen to how they change it in the Tree of Life. And I'm reading from the Tree of Life. The One New Man Bible does the exact same thing. But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to judgment. But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to judgment. And by taking out that one little phrase, this is what happens. We see a Jesus Christ in the One New Man Tree of Life and many of these other apostate Bibles, a Jesus that is not sinless. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, it says here of Jesus, after looking around at them with anger. You see, I can take these Bibles, if I was one of these wolves, and I could show them, well, look, Jesus Christ wasn't sinless. He was a sinner. Look right here. He wasn't born of a virgin. Jesus Christ told lies. He wasn't perfect. You see, these apostate Bibles, they are an open gate to hell. They're not, and you see, when I say the other Jesus of the sacred name Bibles, I'm not kidding one bit. This is just absolute rank abomination. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, and after this scripture, we're going to take a break. 1 Peter chapter 1, and these are facts. You see, these are facts. These are not things that I'm making up. You can check. It's there. And we have to understand how subtle it is. And I understand that a lot of people that are using these Bibles, they believe in the real Jesus, and they don't realize the deception that they're in and the defilement that they're experiencing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let's look at verse 21 and 22. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The real Jesus never sinned. That's, and over, I talk about the C, the D, and the E. The cross, the doctrine, and example of Jesus Christ. Everything he did was perfect and holy and correct. He was not a liar. He was not a sinner. And he was born of a virgin. So with that, we're going to take our break. And oh my goodness, we have so much more to talk to you about on the FOJC Remnant Gathering. We'll be right back.
You're listening to FOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. Thank you for joining us here at the Remnant Gathering. We meet here every Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Time. And when we're not here live, we have Auto DJ that plays 24/7, so you can always hear something. There's also some music hours on our Auto DJ that plays throughout the day. So come and join us anytime here on FOJC Radio. And we also have FOJC Radio on YouTube. It's the one with the open door. And you can also hear us on Now You See TV. David's famous for the Midnight Ride. It's every Saturday night at nowyoucetv.org. The Midnight Ride starts at 10 p.m. Central Time. So hang on to your hat, bring your coffee, and come join us on Now You See TV. That's right, spell it out, nowyoucetv.org. And thanks again for listening to our programs, and blessings to all of you.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of his love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. It's time we, the people, stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back and raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is my weapon, and the Spirit is my shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. To the Lamb of God. There's victory for the Christian who walks the narrow way. There's been a prize appointed for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus and be all that I should be, so that I can rest with Him forever, live eternally. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Put your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Praises to the Lamb of God. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Praises to the Lamb of God. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
Now back to tonight's message with Brother David Carrico on FOJC Radio.
Welcome back to the FOJC Remnant Gathering. And as I always do after break, I want to sincerely thank all of our listeners that listen and study with us and that pray for us and that support us with your gifts and your kindnesses. We so very, very much appreciate it. We really, really do. And I think that the more intense the battle gets, that the more you appreciate those that pray for you and help to lift up your hands in the fight with that you're in. And obviously, the things that I'm saying here are going to incur the wrath of many people. I'm not naive, I understand that, but I cannot bear with them. The things that are being propagated in these translations, I can't bear with them. And that's just the way it is. And we are committed to giving you the truth. And when I am speaking the truth, I am more than willing to bear persecution for the sake of my Lord. And I will do it joyfully. I really will. I count it a joy to be able to suffer in bringing forth the truth of God in these last days, in suffering that persecution. Because we have certainly not resisted unto blood yet. But we probably will for it's over. And hey, that's okay too. Now, we're going to get back into our teaching. And we're going to look at the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 14. And one of the most precious things, and probably the most precious things in all of creation, and that Jesus wasn't created, but it's the blood of Jesus. I mean, what is more holy and pure than the blood of Jesus? And one of the level of reprobation here is off the chart. And to call these translations anemic, that's even too light of a term. But it certainly would apply to the One New Man Bible, the Tree of Life. And I haven't even got started on the Complete Jewish Bible. Oh my goodness. And there's so much material here, I might have to do another broadcast just to even begin to cover the things that people really need to know about these sacred name translations. And to say that they're anemic is very, very accurate. The blood is removed in key doctrinal passages in this. So, and you see, this is very much what was taught by the Ebionite heresy, that Jesus Christ, he was just a good man, but he wasn't the sinless Son of God, and they would call him the Messiah. And there are many people out here that are saying Yeshua is the Messiah, and they're not meaning who I'm meaning. You see, we have to understand that. And I know many of them by name, and I could call them out. And many people, when they say Yeshua, they mean a good man that was not the virgin-born Son of God, incarnate in the flesh. And many of them, when they say Yeshua, and a growing number, and like I say, tomorrow on the Midnight Ride, we're going to be showing this point blank, they're saying Yeshua's Metatron. They really are. I mean, you might think this is hard to believe. Well, you better buckle up. We're here. We're here right now. And this is bringing in the beast and the false prophet. This is why we cannot bear with them. I do not care whose hair I set on fire. I have to deliver this truth, because this is something that the real remnant of God, we have to 100% repent of this, get clean of it, and stand uncompromisingly for the truth of the real Jesus. In Colossians 1 and 14, in the King James Bible, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Watch what happens in the anemic Tree of Life version. The same is true in the anemic One New Man translation. It reads here, "In whom we have redemption, the release of sins." The blood is taken out. What an abomination. I love the blood of Jesus. And the level of offense in my heart, you see, and every born-again believer loves the blood of Jesus. I will not bear with this denigration of this key doctrinal scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. And in the King James Bible, it reads here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Let's look at it in the Scriptures 2009 translation. And this is Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. In the Scriptures 2009 translation, it says here, "And he who does not take up his stake and follow after me is not worthy of me." Really? Whoever does not take up his stake? These guys need to know that if you hate the cross and you want to take it out of your Bible, someone's already done that. Get the New World Translation, but the Jehovah Witnesses, they put torture stake in there. So yeah, they've taken out the cross. They don't like the blood. They don't like the cross. They don't like the virgin birth. They don't like the sinless Son of God. So let's just take the blood out. Let's just take the cross out. Whoever takes up his stake, this is just nothing but gross, gross darkness. The cross to believers. One of the most sacred of the hymns, "I will cherish that old rugged cross." I guess these guys would sing, "They cherish the old rugged stake." It just makes me want to retch and to vomit. That's about all you can say about the whole mess. Now, in the Sacred Name Movement, which is just a cult, I'm going to call it what it is. The Sacred Name Movement is just nothing but a cult. And kind of the way this comes down, and this is a term that's becoming applicable to the whole mess. And at the top, the Messianic movement is the largest, and it kind of goes into subgroups of what we would call the Hebrew root. And from there, it would get into the more extreme Sacred Name movement, which is already in total Looney Tune cult land. Absolute. But the same basic lies permeate the whole ball of wax, and it's hard to even distinguish. They all basically believe the same things, and some just take it to more extremes than others. But the largest group, and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and the largest group in the Sacred Name movement is the Assemblies of Yahweh out in Bethel, Pennsylvania. I believe Jacob Meyer was the name of the individual that started this group. And in the doctrine of the Assemblies of Yahweh, they teach that Jesus is a created being. Now, not long, and this is why there are many people out there, they say Yeshua, they're talking about a created being. They're not talking about the Word made flesh that was in the beginning with the Father. He wasn't in the beginning with the Father. He was created at some point in time, and this, again, is what is taught by the Jehovah Witnesses and the old Arian heresy. And Of course, out there in the Assemblies of Yahweh, they teach that this, again, is the biggest group in the Sacred Name movement out in Bethel, Pennsylvania. They teach that Jesus is a created being, that that the Holy Ghost is not a person, just a force. And boy, there's a lot of that out there, too. And not long ago, John Pounders gave the heave-ho to a guy off Now You See TV that was teaching that Jesus Christ is a created being. Now, and oh my goodness.
They hated John and John. They're in the chat.
They did what?
They're in the chat. Both Johns are in the chat.
Oh, okay. But anyway, John Pounders was just the worst person in the world because he gave the heave hold to this guy that was teaching that Jesus was a created being. Well, God bless John Pounders for not bearing with this apostasy. And there are many people out there in the Hebrew root movement, Messianic movement, when they say Yeshua, they mean a created being, and they're such wolves. This went on for a good while before we figured out what was going on. And when he did, he gave him the heave-ho, because we can't bear with this other Jesus that's being propagated by this apostasy. That's nothing less than what it is. But let's read Acts 11:26 in the King James Bible. In Acts 11:26, it says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." I will read it for you from the Bethel translation, from the Assemblies of Yahweh. This is how it reads in Acts 11:26. "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together with the assembly and taught much people, and the disciples were first called refuse in Antioch." Yes, you heard me right. And the disciples were first called refuse in Antioch. What can you say about this? Are there words that I could use to say how deep the abomination and defilement is here? We're talking about a full-blown cult, folks. And we're talking about another Jesus. We're talking about nothing less than that. And people, after this lesson, you're going to hear some of these bright lights out there. They're going to try to defend these Bibles. Shame on you if you even try to defend defend this apostate abomination? How can you? And the people that come out and try to defend, it's either this is where we're at. You repent of it, or you keep using it and you defend it. And there's a line that we must draw in the sand, because the issue is, who is the real Jesus? Now, are you ready for Lucifer's Sweet 16? Are you ready? Well, I'm going to give you Lucifer's Sweet 16, and we're going to say a little bit about the complete Jewish Bible. We haven't said anything about that one yet. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a little comparison segment, and we're going to compare the way that the scriptures read in the King James Bible with the complete Jewish Bible. And I don't have the statistics, but I think probably the complete Jewish Bible might be the most popular of them all. I can't prove that, but that would be my suspicion. But let's just do some comparisons, and I want you just to be the honest judge. Which do you think is the most accurate, the King James or the complete Jewish? Okay, here we go. And I'm going to have Sister Donna read it out of the complete Jewish after I read it out of the King James. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, it says in the King James, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Okay, Sister Donna.
I don't have it.
Well, don't worry, nobody's got it. Because this verse has been taken out of the complete Jewish Bible. Well, in the King James Bible, you can cast out the devil with prayer and fasting. But in the complete Jewish Bible, they cast out the whole verse. Okay, well, let's try another one. Let's try Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. All right, Sister Donna, read it out of the complete Jewish Bible.
I don't have it.
Oh, well, that one's been taken out too. My goodness. In the King James Bible, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. In the complete Jewish Bible, that scripture gets lost. And I guess there's really no need for me to be clever, is there? I'm going to give you the list here of Lucifer's Sweet 16. 16 verses that have been completely removed from the complete Jewish Bible. And I'll just read the list for you. Matthew 17:21, Matthew 18:11, Matthew 23:14, Mark 7:16, Mark 9:44, Mark 9:46, Mark 11:26, Mark 15:28, Luke 17:36, Luke 23:17, John 5:4, Acts 8:37, Acts 15:34, Acts 24:6b to Acts 24:8a, Acts 28:29, and Romans 16:24. Now, these Bibles are claiming to enable us to obey Torah. But the truth is, these Bibles are a rank violation and an abomination of the Torah. And I guarantee you, time does not allow for me to bring forth all of the verses that there have been key words and phrases taken out. But these are the ones that have been completely removed. But let's read what the real Word of God says. And these are just, as I say, they're nothing less but a rank abomination of not only the Torah, but of all the Holy Scriptures. In Deuteronomy 4 and 1, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And it's just obvious that these so-called Bibles are in rank violation of the Torah. Deuteronomy 12 and 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. In the book of Proverbs, Now, boy, there's some real wisdom of God for you in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. Oh, boy, it is. Every word of God is pure. I am thankful that I can hold a Bible in my hand, that I can know and understand that it is pure, and that it is translated from the pure words that God gave. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. These Bibles make Jesus out to be a liar. But the real liars are the people that are putting out these apostate translations. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, we know the scripture. Revelation chapter 22, let's look at verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Look at your neighbor and say, this is one serious scripture. Verse 19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. On page 1385 of the Complete Jewish Bible, in the study edition, this is the Complete Jewish Study Bible, and as we've already seen, to call this the complete anything is a big joke, because there are 18 verses completely removed, and I mean, I'm serious, there's more time than I got or that you could put up with to show you all the verses that have been mutilated. But on page 1385 in the Complete Jewish Study Bible, there is something that has become almost standard doctrine in the Messianic movement. It's the teaching of the par days. And this is of the four levels of interpretation, the Peshat, the Remez, the Drash, and the Sod. If you've been around the Hebrew root Messianic movement for very long, I'm sure you've probably heard this. And this is taught on page 1385 of the Complete Jewish Study Bible. It says this: the ancient rabbis and sages used four basic modes of hermeneutics. Now, that word means how you interpret Scripture. My hermeneutical method is the doctrine of Christ. I interpret the Word of God by the doctrine of Christ. That's it. But they use the par days, and here they admit that it comes from the ancient rabbis and the sages. There's nothing in the Bible about the par days and the four levels. Now, here's where it really comes from. And on a book that we're going to be talking a little bit more about tomorrow night on the Midnight Ride, there's a book called The Return of the Kosher Pig by Rabbi Itzhak Shapira. And on page 29 of this book, he tells us where this comes from. He says, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, who was the founding rabbi of the par days method, explains that the scriptures possess four layers that are represented by the word par days. And then Rabbi Itzhak Shapira, on page 302 of this book, he explains to us who Yitzhak Luria was. He was he lived from 1534 to 1572, sometimes known as the Holy Harai. Born in Jerusalem, he was a foremost rabbi and Jewish mystic in the community of Safed in the Galilee region of Ottoman Palestine. He is considered the father
of contemporary Kabbalah. Now, these people will teach you the Pardes, and they say, oh, this is just ancient Hebrew. No, that's 16th century Kabbalah. This is just ancient apostasy that is coming down from the Babylonian mysteries that is being repackaged and pushed off on people as a deeper level of understanding. And when you have people that will move you into the hermeneutics of the Pardes, you are in deep and serious trouble. You are going down the rabbit hole at breakneck speed. And also on page 1690 of the One New Man Bible, the Pardes method is also lifted up in the One New Man Bible, page 1690. Read them and weep, and then pitch it in the trash. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read verses 1 and 2. And the scripture says here in the King James Bible, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Now that word translated "carried away" is 520, apago. And when you study this word out, what I say about it, it means monkey see, monkey do. Have you ever been to a zoo? I'm sure most of us had. And you go down to the monkey exhibit and you do the stuff and the monkey imitates you. This is what this word means, apago. You're carried away. You're just doing what other people do. And they're carried away unto dumb idols. And this is the trap people can fall into. They're just carried away. And these people get up and they say, oh, here's the Pardes method. They're carried away with it. They don't know where it comes from. You've got no idea. And you're carried away. We have to stop being carried away. We have to return to the real Word of God, the real Jesus, and not allow any of these deceivers to carry us away into this apostasy. One of the most blessed scriptures, and I say that about all of them, that is used for soul winning. There are many, many hours that Sister and Donna and I have spent doing door-to-door personal evangelism, street witnessing, street preaching. We done gobs of that back when we were young and frisky. And one of the most, and you know, you used to have churches that would teach soul winning. They were centered on souls, how to lead people to be born again. And one of the most blessed scriptures for soul winning is Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let's look at what happens to this in the Scriptures 2009, and it's absolutely unusable for anything godly. And Romans 10:9 in the Scriptures 2009, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Master, and then it has Hebrew letters, and it doesn't even have Yeshua in it, it has the Hebrew letters. And I would say 99 out of 100 people that would pick this up, they don't even know what this is, let alone can read it or pronounce it or in any way use it for anything, let alone to be able to take the Word of God and use it to lead another soul to salvation. That if you confess with your mouth the Master, Hebrew words, and believe in your heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And this devilish change has absolutely made that impossible. And you can see real quick, the whole move within this movement is to destroy the true faith. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, we just read the first two verses of this text. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 3, it says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. It comes to my mind, we have prayed for deliverance with literally thousands of people over the last 40 years, and Sister Donna might remember this, but and this is way back when we were living on Fifth Avenue, and we've moved several times since then. So, boy, we're going back to mid-80s, maybe, somewhere back in there. But there was an individual that was deeply demonized. The poor fellow was deeply abused. His father would make him watch as he would have sex with prostitutes. And this poor individual was deeply demonized, and he could not say Jesus is Lord. And I remember very well when we cast the devil out of this man, and he, with tears in his eyes, said, Jesus is Lord. This phrase, Jesus is Lord, cannot come out of the mouth of the people in the sacred name movement. And in the And I just have one thing to say to all you sacred namers out there. Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Jesus is Lord. He is the virgin-born, sinless Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. In the Scriptures 2009 edition on page 1225, it says, Lord is not an innocent title. And then it goes into a lie-filled diatribe on why the word Lord is a dirty word and you shall cannot say it. And when people get indoctrinated into these lies and blasphemies, they are totally bound up and they're not able to say that Jesus is Lord. On page Roman numeral 15, in the introduction, there is one of the common lies that's repeatedly regurgitated throughout this whole movement. It says the restoration of the name. The restoration of the name, this is reading from the Scriptures 2009. It says the restoration of the name of the Almighty to any translation of the Scriptures should require no justification. After all, it was the Almighty himself who originally placed his name in the Scriptures at least 6,823 times. And this half-truth, which is an any-half-truth, is a lie. This is the lie that they use to pull you into these sacred name Bibles, that the name of God has been replaced and taken out. That's an absolute lie. In the King James Bible, it translates Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh as capital L-O-R-D. And every time you see that, you know what you got. It is not wrong for you to have a translation of the Word of God in your own language. If you're Chinese or whatever you are, it's okay for you to have a translation of the Word of God in your own language. It's important that you're taking that translation from the proper text, the Hebrew Masoretic, But from the proper Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek received text, and it's okay. And it could be proper to say that the King James Bible has replaced every Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic word. It translated it, and that's okay. And the idea that when you say Hebrew words, that you are more holy, or that by saying the name of God in Hebrew, that you are more holy. This is such a dangerous truth that you need to totally get over it. And I mean totally 100%. Put this demonic lie out of your mind. And how about the Hebrew root Bible, it's just the King James Bible with the names replaced. If you buy into this lie at any level, and who knows what they've tampered with in that piece of garbage, if you allow people to get you into these sacred name Bibles at any level, You're helping to propagate this lie. You need to totally, 100% get this lie out of your mind. We're going to close with just a couple scriptures here. Isaiah 45. Let's turn to Isaiah 45, beginning in verse 18. So are there any of these sacred name Bibles that are good? No, none of them. No, not one. Each and every one of them is based upon this lie. Throw them in the trash, each and every one of them. Get in the real Bible. Isaiah 45 and 18. For thus saith the Lord God that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Yod Heh Vav Heh. In verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, referring unto Yod Heh Vav Heh mentioned in verse 18 of Isaiah 45. And you know the scripture. You know the scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Praise his holy name. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of the name Yod Heh Vav Heh. We don't know how to pronounce Yod Heh Vav Heh. There's no vowels in it. But we do know how to say that Jesus is Lord. With that, we're going to close. I'm running out of gas and I'm running out of voice, so I better quit. Tomorrow night on the Midnight Ride, Deanne Loper will be our guest. The first guest we've had for a while on the Midnight Ride. It's going to be a barn burner. You want to bring your crash helmet, because we'll be pulling no punches. And we're looking forward to that very, very much. So with that, let's just close out in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much to be able once again to bring you the Word of God. Father, we just pray that it goes deep within to the hearts of people, that they return to you, the true virgin-born Son of God, with all of their heart, that they repent of the apostasy of these sacred name Bibles and throw them in the trash. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and agree. Amen and amen. We will see you next Friday night, 6 p.m. Central, on the FOJC Remnant Gathering.
Thank you for being a part of our Friday night FOJC Remnant Gathering. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can check our website out at www.fojcradio.com, or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com, or you could call us at 812-473-3735. Thanks and God bless.